San Francisco, California, this is Mostly Music. And now, your hosts, Ignatius Palafox and The Low Spark.
Oh yeah, we are back.
In typical fashion, welcome back to Mostly Music. I am The Low Spark.
I am Ignatius Palafox.
We have a special guest today.
Hello, my name is Hillary.
Get a little more into the mic would be great.
Hello.
We got Hillary in the house.
What's
and
up?
And we have the great, not late, luckily, Ellis Marsalis.
Okay.
Playing the key, shredding it up.
Yeah.
The father of Branford, Wynn, Jason. Many, many, many of the modern New Orleans sound that we know to this day came from this one man. The master. And I was actually lucky enough to see him last week.
Where? SF Jazz?
No, in New Orleans, actually.
Oh, that's fucking right.
Yeah. He's 83, I believe. Yeah, he's... It's incredible, man. He's a legend. Actually.
Preservation?
No. Snug Harbor, Frenchman Street. And then actually at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Fest, you know, Jazz Fest. Big stage. Big stage. You know, they have all the different tents and everything. And
I wouldn't know. Never been.
Well, you got to go.
You go yearly.
I try. I mean, yeah. If I can. It's incredible. You know, I'm not a big festival fan, so to speak. It's not really, you know, it's getting all hot and sweaty all day and competing with crowds and everything. But Jazz Fest is a little bit different. A lot special.
How long were you there for? A few days?
No, I only went to one day. I mean, I was down in Louisiana for about 10 days. But,
I can commit to one trip next year if you want to go. I'll commit to that.
I'm telling you, man. That's it.
I got to go.
Yeah, the amount of legends that live down there is just insane.
I mean, but you see, music.
The great thing about Ellis is that he was, you know, I mean, he was born in 1934. He started out as a tenor saxophonist, but then switched to piano in high school. But he was different because he didn't really focus on, like, Dixieland jazz like a lot of the New Orleans musicians did at the time. You know, he was a lot more into rhythm and blues. He played with, in the 50s and the 60s, with Ed Blackwell, Cannonball Adderley. He's just, you know, he's a lot more free. But it's funny, he didn't really gain a lot of notoriety until Wynton did, until his son did, you know. And then they started coming up in New Orleans music, and then they all realized, oh, this one guy, like, spawned all these dudes, and he still teaches. That's mainly what he does. So, yeah, it's just, it's a weird thing.
It's very happy piano. Punchy.
It's just grooves. It's just really nice, you know. It's not too serious. Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's
very happy.
Yeah, he's having fun.
It's elated. It's like a lighthearted is the word, right?
Yeah, he taught everybody. I mean, of course, his six sons, but like Terrence Blanchard, Harry Connick Jr., of course, who was, you know, virtuoso.
He taught Harry Connick Jr.?
Yeah. I mean, Harry Connick Jr., you know, a lot of people don't know. He had an album out when he was like 7 years old. I mean, that guy is a legit pianist, you know.
He's everything. He's a good actor, too.
Yeah, and he's a hot guy as well. You know?
He's a sexy Jew.
Wow.
Jew, right?
Is he? I don't know. I don't know. We do have a lady here.
Yeah, I mean, totally.
What do you think about Harry Connick Jr.?
I'd be down for Rollin' the Hay. You know? Hey, let's listen to that album. Hay. Let's go. I'm ready. Let's put on that music. Hey.
I remember a jazz experience. We were at Stookie's Club Moderne. It's my favorite bar in the city.
On
right
Bush
now.
And Taylor, check it out if you're in San Francisco.
Their whole concept's 1935, post-prohibition.
Great little spot.
Yeah, the music, the cocktails, the ambiance.
Even the glassware is all salvaged glassware from like yard sales and auctions and stuff. Yeah, it's great.
So we were there for music night. It's a Thursday night, and you were talking about your family's experience with Gershwin. And
right. Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to get that out of you.
A lot of classic
Wait, hold
musicians.
On. What is this? What's going on here?
Oh, they were playing Gershwin, and my mother used to play the piano, or she does still, but, you know, I'm not around her as much anymore, but we grew up with the old-time piano, so.
That's awesome. So you know all the old hits and everything that sort of made Western music what it is.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Because you were a performance dancer? Tap? Did you do tap?
Oh, okay. So you must be remembering the time I tried out for a play in Fiddler's Roof.
Fiddler
sang,
on the Roof?
Yeah, Fiddler
Ooh,
on the
I
Roof.
I was in that play, by the way.
I sang the song 10 Cents a Dance, and I can't remember the artist, but it was one of those old school piano songs. Interesting.
Yeah. Were you tapping to it or?
No, I think I just sang and danced to it.
We're going to have the video podcast up in about an hour.
I thought that was probably one of the most charming stories you've ever told me. It added a lot of depth to your character. Knowing I was watching you tell the story. You told a little more eloquently and like in detail. And it reminds me that like you're young and people that have that kind of exposure and experience, it comes from your parents.
That's
it comes
true.
From, you know, where did you go to school? What did you learn? What were you exposed to? And it's refreshing. Because,
it is. Yeah.
You know, that's deep. That's deeper than shit that I know. That's stuff that you know. You know what I mean? And you're both younger than me. And that's stuff I got to tap into.
Gotta
new
tap in.
And even older than
get up in
the roots and the future.
Well, that's what the show is all about.
So. That's what it's all about.
We're all here to help each other.
Right.
And discover good music. Remember to email us at mostlymusicpodcast@gmail.com. We're finishing each other's sentences now. Do we have a Facebook presence? I believe we do. But
no
you
posts.
Failed. Are you? No,
but
I don't know how
exists.
To do that. That's your job.
That's,
are you?
I,
no posts.
I haven't
but it
kidnapped.
Exists.
I haven't kidnapped a millennial yet.
We need to get back on that millennial train. And,
okay.
Well, so if you're interested in doing our social media and or PR, do we need that? I don't think we need that. mostlymusicpodcast@gmail.com. Leave a comment on the Podomatic website, on iTunes, wherever you'd like.
We received an email.
Oh, yeah. Well, we received many emails.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. What do you...
Oh, I was going to get into something deep, dark, and...
Oh, I thought we were going to get into this email, because we did get one email, and it's actually funny, because...
From WizKiz?
Oh yeah, actually, but that's a little bit later on.
Okay,
you know, we actually have to devote an entire
I'll
episode.
Let you.
We have to devote an entire episode from that.
Let's open up an email.
Yeah, so we got Sheila SK. Doesn't say where she's from, but it's interesting. Hey guys, where have you been? Missed the show. Hopefully, you get a episode in. I think that's a typo. By Memorial Day. Well, guess what, Sheila? You know what? It is Memorial Day today. This was not necessarily the plan, but you know what it was, because we value our fans. But she basically just wants to remind us that it is John Fogerty's birthday today.
Okay.
Yeah, CCR. So give a little shout out
Interesting.
To John.
Interesting.
I know John Fogerty is a loyal fan and loyal listener of this show. He's been a subscriber for many years. So happy birthday, John.
Happy birthday. I got a couple of deaths on the episode tonight. per tradition.
Oh, yeah?
We always go there.
Wait, a couple of deaths?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Industry deaths.
Uh-oh.
Music industry.
I hope not.
It's all, like, mainstream news. I wanted to get into, I guess, my first track of the night.
What do you got?
I've been revisiting, per usual, John Lennon.
Ooh. John Lennon just died this month, apparently.
And the Plastic Ono Band, his first album.
Easily. We've had many arguments about what's the best post-Beatles album from an individual. And I know I have a
You're
soft
George
spot.
Harrison.
I have a soft spot for George, but Plastic Ono Band is probably the best album.
It is controversial, artistic. He gets... You can almost hear him slur because he's a fucking drunk.
Well, it's a lot of coke and tequila. Right
he
now,
gets yeah. fucking... And
or Brandy Alexander.
The track that chokes me up and really makes me cry. Like, I mean, I was watching the docufilm about his youth and his...
Oh, yeah.
And his relationship with his mother, which was non-existent until he was a teenager, and she literally lived down the road. It's called Nowhere Boy.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's the John Lennon, the teenage years.
Well, there was a movie. There was like a...
Yeah.
It's a biopic.
Biopic. There
you go.
That docufilm.
Yeah.
And...
My Mummy's Dead. Are you going to play that? How dare you?
Mother.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to play Mother. Yeah.
The first track is Mother, by the way, and the last track on that album is My Mummy's Dead, which is,
this is
more or less like a secret
We'll start
track.
Here it's because like it's very passionate, but you could tell he's fucking drunk in the studio because he's just going balls out. I've never really, I mean, I've always listened to the Beatles, like, almost, I want to say superficially, to my discredit.
Well, you grew up hearing it on the radio, whether you like it or not.
I mean, background music in the forefront, soundtracks, commercials.
Playing the top hits.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, in retrospect, this band was everything a band would and wouldn't want to be. And the toxicity of their relationships, the harmony of, you know, their voices and their friendship, and it all accumulated when they were children. They were teenagers.
They were kids.
John, Paul, George, later on Ringo. You know, I'm just happy.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and they spent their formative years in bars in Germany, just touring around, and that's how they
got tight.
Well, in Hamburg. Hamburg is when they really...
Amongst prostitutes.
Oh, yeah. And fucking greasers. Red Light District. Oh, for sure. But, you know, it made them tight, and it made them sort of immune to any sort of negative publicity, which is, of course, what they got when they came to America. I mean, obviously, all the kids and, you know, all the youth loved them, but everybody else... crazy mop head hippie.
Right, it was around the time of the British invasion, they say.
They were the British invasion.
More or less. I mean, then the Stones, you know.
The Who.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, when I think of that, I think of the Beatles. And, you know, back then they were just more or less like the Stones, just doing a lot of covers and everything and playing, like, you know, old blues songs and stuff. But whereas the Stones... You know, I don't want to say the Stones
didn't
evolve.
They weren't covering, they were ripping off.
The Beatles seemed to evolve a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to the Stones' credit, they would, you know, bring, like, Howlin' Wolf on tour and, you know,
Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Mick Jagger was a front man. Brian Jones was a genius. Let's get that straight.
Well, you know, it's just, it's different, you know, because back then they weren't... I don't know, I like 70s Stones more, you know, than like, the first decade of their...
Well, it made more sense...
Well, it was just more original to me. I don't know. I mean, I shouldn't really. I've never been a huge Stones fan. I don't know why. Like, I, you know, had all the albums growing up, and I listened to them, of course, but I never. I don't know. People always say Stones or the Beatles, and it's not that. It's not Stones or Beatles. If anything, it's like Led Zeppelin or the Stones or something. You know,
two totally but, different categories.
For me,
honestly,
it's Zeppelin, 100%. You know,
the Beatles has more range when it comes to
right,
talent.
That's, yeah, I think know. So. It's just you can't really compare them because they're very, very different. But yeah, the albums, the Beatles.
I almost want to say one's more easy listening than the other, but it's not really from a point of view that's not a very musically inclined person to say this is the Rolling Stones or this is the Beatles. I would say like the Beatles is more, you can relate to that a lot more than the Rolling Stones or easily like jump into that. That's just, I don't know.
For me, there's more depth.
Well, in their
to
later
the Beatles,
albums, certainly. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
In the Stones, it's I can dance to the Stones. I can sing to the Stones. You know,
it
it's rock.
Simple, yeah.
The Beatles is everything a band wants to be and doesn't want to be.
But I think what you're saying is, like, the Beatles have more, like, melodious tracks. Like, they're more, they're sort of easier to follow.
Right. It's easier to pick up an album and start listening to it and jam with it rather than mm-hmm. where you might have to listen to another album and you... we'll have to listen to it more critically to really develop that sense of like, yes, I get it. And I'm with this type of music kind of, and I don't want to go off on a tangent, but sort of when you start listening to heavy metal, like you have to really develop an ear for it. Like, but yeah. I think both bands are pretty, they're pretty, you know,
accessible.
Yeah. But I would say one to the other. I mean, I have more recognizable songs with the Beatles than I do with the Rolling Stones. However, if I listen to a song, I'm like, oh yeah, that's the Stones, or mm-hmm. I know it, I just don't realize that's,
yeah,
you know, who's
playing. I think so too. I think that's kind of how I feel as well. I think maybe radio has something to do with that. I mean, you know,
I mean, they're both
it's
so
true,
fucking
they are.
Huge.
I know, yeah.
It's honestly, it's like, you know, what do you relate to most? And
I think it goes back to what you're saying and sort of how you're raised, you know,
exactly,
what
your exposure
to. Yeah.
Definitely. What a fucking track, man. And that's
brutal.
Yoko's in the band. Yoko's in the studio with him. To her credit, like, she did a fucking great job, man. She's psychotic. She's an artist.
Yoko's legit, man.
Yeah, she's a real fucking artist.
Yeah,
I mean, if you can challenge
if
you can challenge a revolutionary artist like John Lennon, then you're bringing something big to the table.
Make him or like be on his level.
Yeah.
And not think, not afraid and not like succumb to his celebrity or anything like that. No.
Like in the 90s and early 2000s, people fucking hated Yoko in conversation. Yeah. But now people are like, no.
Ever since
69,
hated Yoko because they thought she was.
In the conversations I've had.
The wedge that broke up the Beatles, but it had nothing to do with that. They
but
were
recently,
all,
people have given her, you know, a lot more recognition and be like, no, she. She came with something. You know, she helped change that scene.
Yeah. She, you know, always
cheers
did her
Yoko.
Own thing. Yeah. Just so happened.
I'm going to raise my glass to Yoko Ono.
I touched Yoko Ono once.
Shut the fuck up. Fuck.
Cheers to that.
Fuck you.
Well, I was in the same room as Yoko Ono.
Were you?
Yeah.
At an art show?
No, I was at the exact opposite of an art show.
Shit.
Am I really going to tell the story of when I was in the same room as Yoko Ono? No,
it's fucking relevant.
It's slightly embarrassing. I don't know. What is it? 2001, maybe 2000.
You're a fucking kid.
2002. Yeah. I'd either just graduated high school or I don't know. But was that so fucking? Was that a taping of the Wayne Brady Show?
Hell yeah!
Short-lived. Most people probably don't even remember that.
I
fucking
do
love
remember
Wayne
that
Brady.
Show. Hey,
Brady
had a little talk show, like a daytime talk show.
I remember?
Yeah, and we were trying to go to. This is on the CBS lot. We were trying to see a different show, but you had to. They needed asses in the seats, so to speak. So they essentially made us go. We had to go to this one show so that we can go to something else, right? And so we went, and Charo was one of the guests.
Dude.
Yeah, you remember Charo?
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
And then she came up and down the aisle, and I was sitting in the aisle, and that was pretty crazy. My, like, you know, little kid brain was exploding from Pee-wee's Playhouse. But then Yoko Ono was a guest that day. It was crazy, man.
On Wayne Brady's show? On
Wayne Brady, yeah, YouTube it.
So if I YouTube it, yeah. I can see you in the audience?
Yeah, probably. I'm on the aisle. Yeah, go for it.
Dude, this is deep. This is deeper than I fucking, we just see 18 opened year old the me. Box. Yeah.
Anyway, that's my Yoko story. I hope that won't be the last, but you know. I don't know if forever. I really appreciated it at the time. Now I'd probably freak out, you know.
She's going to be the last living Beatle. Sorry, Ringo.
Well, Paul already died years ago.
Oh, so. Paul's been dead since what, 70?
since the Magical Mystery Tour. Yeah. 68.
Decapitated Paul.
Send your emails to thelowspark@gmail.com. No. Your gripes, your likes to me. That's all right.
Well, I can go into my next track. I was listening to what was I listening to? Some new music talk thing. They're talking about the direction of hardcore and punk and straight edge, and I was like, oh, let's listen to this because you know I want to see where it's going. It's not going too well, man. The talent is so flat. Well, let's listen to the track.
Do the kids not?
I think these are kids from Boston. Well, the name of the band is Abuse of Power. Shitty name.
Yeah, I don't like all these quasi-political.
Superficial political fucking bullshit. And then there's that
Now, is this a contemporary? Is this a new band?
This is new.
Oh, I mean, like they're putting out new
material.
They
don't even have a fucking album.
It's a current band.
They don't have a fucking album. Oh. They have an EP right now or something like that. This track is called View of the Few. Straight edge hardcore, I guess. Lead singer straight edge.
Is it straight edge? Oh, wow. I thought that was long.
I want to say Boston. I could be wrong.
Really?
I mean, these are fucking hockey players that pick up the electric guitar. So, Abuse of Power, View of the Few.
Right on.
This is hardcore, so brace yourself.
I wouldn't call that hardcore, but
that's hardcore.
It's not bad. That's hardcore.
Well, that's like post screamo.
It's like
I was gonna say he's definitely not singing, so he's sort of in between, right?
He's belting it out. Voice, not bad.
No, it's not bad.
Bassline, you want more?
Yeah. Again, hardcore. I don't know.
Production.
It's not bad.
Flat as fuck. Drummer. Needs to eat a steak and lift some weights because the drum line is the weakest drum line I've ever heard.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not like I'm not like getting blasted out. No. Here. Like I want to get blasted the fuck out if I'm listening.
The bass line is clean and it's heavy, but there's not enough of it.
I mean, like, it's a lot more like harmonious than it should be. It's not as dirty. You know, I'm looking for some filth on that. But
The thing is, if you get a stronger bass line, you're essentially just a faux. Fugazi.
Well,
you're a Fugazi. Yeah, well, Fugazi.
Yeah.
That's funny. Because Fugazi's bass lines are just the best bass lines for like 20 years. You don't beat them. The drummer was a fucking madman. Their front man was a contortionist. The guitarist had some of the greatest bands of all time.
They're putting it all out there. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe
Minor Threat. Right. You know, the prequel.
What about like the Blood Brothers? See, I love that. I love that old shit. But anyway, are these like kids? Are they like
19, 20? I would say early 20s, because definitely they're in a drinking environment. I saw one of their live videos and it was weak.
Oh, that sucks. That's what I was going to say. I was like, well, maybe live they're like super hardcore. And like,
and honestly, like, you come off as being socially weak in a hardcore environment if you have to draw X's on your hand. I never agree with the straight edge movement. It's not my thing.
Shit, no, I can't. Just
that's poser plus.
Like, morally speaking, I can't.
That's poser can't to the nth degree.
You know, I don't know. Just move to Utah or something, or just, you know, leave me out of it, kind of thing. Yeah, I don't know.
It's not bad. It's not bad, but it's not hard, man. It's soft. Like, I didn't get scared.
Right.
If I was standing in the mosh pit,
I want to be scared.
If I'm standing in their mosh pit, I probably wouldn't even wince.
No, well, that's that again. That's what I mean. Like, I hope live. You know, maybe the kids finally are all right now, and that's the problem.
That's fucked up. I'm gonna send them that message. You're gonna ruin their careers.
I don't know. What are you gonna do?
What are you playing?
No, I just got a little nostalgic for a second. This isn't really like that.
I'll play you some fucking Circle Jerks Flipper or something like that, dude, if you want.
This is the Blood Brothers. The adultery is ripe. But
I'll play you some Angry Samoans. You want to play some Angry Samoans?
Give it to me. Is that a literal thing?
Or? You're not ready for that.
Are you joking? Or?
I want you to play something else. I need a palate cleanser.
Some of the Blood Brothers live albums are some of the greatest live recordings I've ever heard in my life. Because, well.
Okay.
Anyway, I didn't know you were going to go down this road. So, you know, what are you going to do?
I throw curveballs, bro.
What is this, Samoa? What is it?
We'll get into that another episode. We'll do a punk episode. I'll go down the list of things you should have heard of.
I'd love to do a punk episode. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But for today, what are you going to do? The adultery is right.
Thank you for sharing that. I've actually not heard that track before.
Anyway, it's not... I don't know. Well, I don't know. I don't know what happened. Maybe the kids have nothing to complain about anymore. You know, maybe...
I think they do.
Well, superficial.
No, you know what?
I think they're being too quiet.
They're fucking soft.
Oh yeah. Oh.
I'm gonna show you outside of the box why they're soft.
That's true.
I drive Uber. Right. And I've been driving perfectly normal looking 20 something techies on their phone, a little bit of a cough. And they're like, I'm driving them, their drop off is in urgent care. And I'm like, are you okay? And they're like, oh, I have the flu. I'm taking the week off of work. Like, fucking pussies. You fucking pussy. You're going to urgent care for a flu?
Damn.
For a fever and a cough? Get the fuck out of my Uber. I'm like Jordan. I'm going to have 104 degree fucking, you know, temperature.
You're gonna go shoot
and play the fucking
42 points in the gym.
Yeah.
Yeah, go light these a cigarette butt from the gutter and build up your immune system.
And these kids are trying to play punk music? Dude, they're fucking soft.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Are you know? Well, look, getting too political.
Where have the cowboys gone? Where?
Well, you know what? I'm just gonna say this much: is if they're going to urgent care and they're not going to work, they've never worked in a restaurant. So
tell them
that's disturbing. That's disturbing.
Tell them.
Never called in sick for work ever, and when I tried, my boss would be like, "You're not really sick. Mm-hmm. Get your ass here."
That's the
damn.
The dark, dirty secret of the
in Israel
of all restaurants.
And there's a mandate.
10 degree fever. Come into work and show me.
Oh, you can host today instead.
In Israel, there's a mandatory service of military.
Right.
In the States, there should be a 1 year tour. And a 1 year in the industry tour.
That makes more sense.
Fucking
that
mandatory.
The service. It's service.
For the betterment
choose your
of
service.
The nation.
Yeah, exactly.
That is worth a MAGA hat.
Society would be a little bit better. That's true.
I'm going to email Trump.
That's not bad. Yeah, get him. Get him on speed.
Put on a MAGA hat on the vodcast.
That's
tweet that.
Hashtag mandatory service and industry.
I like that. You know, I don't let, you know.
On Memorial Day, we're going that in that route.
Yep.
Ooh, you know, well, okay.
No disrespect to our soldiers, but.
Do apologize. Again, thelowspark@gmail.com.
You fuck. I'm going to get so blown up. What are you doing?
I'm going crazy, man.
I should have never given you that Coke.
No, all right.
No more key bumps.
Anyway.
For
yeah.
Go ahead.
All good.
I think, I may be wrong, but I think our guest.
Bad Habits?
Sure.
Okay.
Has a track
record. Yeah, so we have Ben Harper and Charlie Musselwhite. Oh. I don't like Ben Harper, but I'll fuck with some Charlie Musselwhite.
Yeah, Charlie Musselwhite's good. I think I've seen Ben.
And the track is No Mercy in This Land.
What would be the first thing you'd say to the Lord? And the last thing you would dream if you couldn't dream no more? Won't you please help me to understand? Is there no mercy in this land? No mercy in this land. Followed the river till the river ran dry. Followed my lover till we said goodbye. Followed you through soldiers who fire on command. Is there no mercy in this land?
I'm going to retract my previous statement.
Yeah.
I'm a really big fan of Ben Harper. I think and Charlie like, Musselwhite yeah. is... It's a new experience
well, he's
for
playing
me.
The harp, I'm assuming. Charlie is...
Actually, no. He's got a whole...
electric harp
he
setup.
He has a briefcase full of harmonicas.
Mm-hmm. Charlie?
So yeah, he plays a harmonica.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah, he was...
How the fuck did I miss this?
Yeah, like early 60s.
That's
like,
Delta.
Like Paul Butterfield, like Mike Bloomfield, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a badass dude.
Yeah. You know, he gets... I actually, there's a rumor that he played all of Dan Aykroyd's harmonica in The Blues Brothers.
Ooh.
Charlie
it's
Musselwhite.
Probably true. I'm sure
it's
true.
Believe
yeah.
It.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a whole.
Page. Are you? Is your mind blown?
My mind
right now?
Is just fucking flying.
I haven't heard
right
this
now.
Though. This is good.
I think
new-ish.
This is pretty new. They won some later. Kind of award for this. I don't know the music award, but
I fucking hated Ben Harper.
It is just so. It's just strange. These guys came together and just started making music. So it's pretty.
That's
it's
more
pretty
than
cool.
music. That's pure soul. I fucking should have went to that show. I'm so sorry.
Oh, he just played here?
Yeah, she invited me to the show and I skipped it.
Oh, how dare you.
What was my Fillmore in March.
At the fucking film? I'm fucking retarded.
No offense. He said he was way too good for... But I get it. If you don't like Ben Harper, and even he made fun of himself about Steal My Kisses. He was like, hey, you know, this is my thing. And
that's what
and
it
I,
is.
Since I met Charlie Musselwhite, I just want to make music with this guy until the day we're not both here together on Earth.
Wow.
Like, wow. Make music.
And by the way, Ben Harper could play a mean slide.
The stigma's been lifted. Seriously, thank you for that.
He's okay
and
now
I'm,
in your
you
eyes.
Know.
Yeah, no, that one track, the stigma's, it was 10 years I fucking hate this dude.
Ben.
Not to switch the track from the,
Jesus
you know.
Christ.
No, seriously. You know, when I hate something, I fucking hate it. Blindly.
Yeah, I know.
I get retarded. My hate knows no bounds. Thank you. Seriously, that's... Wow. Okay. Well, all right. Now I have my new homework for the week.
I know. We should have brought him up when we were doing a brief harmonica segment a couple episodes ago, and he didn't even get a mention. So Charlie, we're sorry. Here's your little shout out now. And next time you come back to the Bay, please do.
Sparks, not your number one fan, bro.
Come and see you.
It's perfect. That sound of true Delta blues is perfect for what I want to play next. I got to bring back to Jason Molina. I always do. Rest in peace. His original band, Songs Ohia. He was a solo artist under that name. Became a band. Rotating membership. Produced his last album under that name. The album's name was Magnolia Electric Company, mm-hmm. circa 2003. Recorded by Steve Albini. In studio. Fucking. I knew there was something about this album that was fucking. You hear it. Like, what does that sound? That's fucking Albini. The way he records. Very different. And there's a track where Jason Molina's voice, there's nobody that can sing like him. But nobody can also write like him. And he relinquished the vocals on this track to a local country singer. I forget the guy's name, John Heder or something like that.
But John Heder, the guy, Napoleon Dynamite.
I don't know. Something like that. I'll go back to it and revisit that name. But on this album called Magnolia Electric Company by Songs Ohia, this track is called The Old Black Hen. And it touches on one of my favorite instruments right now, the fiddle. You ready?
Let's do it.
Black hen, is that you again, singing the bad luck lullaby? Come right on in, 'cause it's midnight again, time for the bad luck lullaby. You know the one, it's the same one you saw when you worked on the revelation. Sing it over the cradle of the child who's born next. Bad luck lullaby. Leave all the truth in so they know what comes next with the bad luck lullaby.
You said that's Albini singing?
No. Albini recorded this album. Dynamite song. That's right. That's a local country singer. Lyrics written by
Jason Molina.
But the croon and the fiddle, the way this guy can fucking crest, that's real country.
Who's playing the fiddle?
I don't know. I might be. There's another track on the album where a woman sings something Molina wrote.
Did Molina play it all? I know he played guitar.
Molina, right? He played rhythm lead and yeah. He was front. I mean, honestly, I think he's the one that's. He's got the melodious, the hooting in the back. Can you hear that? Turn this up right here.
Thank you. trying to sing the blues the way I find them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, man. That wakes me up, gets me through the day, and puts me to bed at night.
That's great.
I play that in Uber all the time when I'm driving.
What album is this from?
This is Magnolia Electric Company.
Oh, that's the...
So,
but
he
this
named,
is in Ohio?
This or? The band at the time is called Songs Ohio. And then in 2003, they put this album out called Magnolia Electric Company. And then he announces shortly after, he's like, oh, my band is now renamed Magnolia Electric Company. So he names his band after the last album he produced with this moniker. Hmm. Recorded by Steve Albini. I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah. That's
did you hear that when the woman kicks in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Total melody.
It seems like everything's recorded live also, which
is great. It is. In studio, yeah. I probably like, I mean, knowing the way Steve Albini records naturally, I would imagine he does like multiple instruments in time on key.
Oh, it sounds like everybody's playing together.
In like a live show, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it sounds exactly like a live show.
Yeah, because it's a little bit raw, and I think that's why Kurt Cobain wanted him for In Utero.
In Utero,
right?
Yeah.
Their final album, because they thought Nevermind was a little bit too polished or a little bit soulless or whatever. And then I think, ironically, after In Utero came out, Kurt Cobain said the same thing. I don't know, but you know, I don't think he would have been happy no matter what, you know, obviously.
Genius. Right. Genius.
But yeah, Steve Albini's cool because he's sort of famous. I don't know if this is true, but like for not taking royalties on albums after he's done, because he always says like the producer's job is to record the damn album. It's not their album, kind of.
Yeah.
Thing. And I think that's why
he releases the masters.
Well, he doesn't take royalties from any of these, so he gets a nice fee, I'm sure. But you know, he's the engineer. He's just that's his job. And then next, you know, it's not his material. That's super cool.
That's a fucking artist.
He's outspoken
itself.
Because of that. Yeah. Most producers or engineers don't want to agree to that because, yeah, they're going to lose a lot of money. But then if you're really good at what you do, you'll always have a job. So, and you'll always be sought after, you know.
You're an artist. That's artistry. Yeah. I mean, you ever look at a fucking Neve board posted on our podcast?
Yeah, recorded.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're lucky enough to be there.
Dude. Fuck. Should be good. It'd probably take me a decade to learn what one of those switches can do.
Oh, sure. Well,
yeah. So the guy's a fucking genius.
A lifetime of learning. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. Fuck. I love that track.
Is it Lawrence Peters? Is he the voice?
No.
Okay.
No. Maybe. Couldn't tell you. I can pull it up right now.
Scout Niblet? Niblet? I don't know.
Yeah, I was looking it up a moment ago.
Well, yeah, I feel like we should just give him a little bit of credit because that his voice is actually pretty—it's pretty rad. You know, I don't know, I don't really hear that a lot. It sounds—you know—usually guys are trying to sing a lot higher, and yeah, that's how you're taught to sing. You know, you're taught to sing a little bit more pleasant to the ear or something.
The croon, the fucking croon of that guy's voice. So you don't. Yeah. I mean, I really couldn't explain. It's almost guttural.
Oh, it just sounds natural.
Melodic. It is.
You know, yeah.
It's, I mean, the things that a singer like that does with their throat just to hit every pitch, every nuance of the song. I mean, he literally took a Jason Molina track and made it his own.
Yeah. No, you can tell.
Lawrence Peters, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
okay, right. Cool. Yeah.
And then singing with him as well as Scout Niblet.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever that is.
Crazy bitch.
It's Canadian, so maybe it's like Niblet.
Niblet. He's probably fucking from Quebec.
Yeah, you never know. All I know is that I felt myself drifting out on the open
prairies.
I want to say bay or something, like floating around in the south, just hanging out, chilling.
Yeah.
During that song, I just felt it. Felt the moon and the stars, you know.
That's powerful.
That was my visualization.
I like that.
I almost got lost on that track. I mean, it's hard for me to not listen to it every day, especially after work on the way home. When it's late, no one's on the freeway, and I go home to the beach, and it's the last track I hear, and I won't get out of my car, and I can see the waves where I park my car and I listen. I let the track finish and I go to bed every night.
There you go.
Yeah.
And on that note, we are going to take a quick break. We're going to leave you with a little Charlie Patton just to sort of fill it in a little bit. We will be back shortly.
Out on a road, then I'm a dying. Out on a road, then I'm a dying. And the Delta wind was trying to run me down. Along, we're going along. Along, along, we're going along. Shall I be a rolling wind, your man?
As I set down these notes on paper, I'm obsessed by the thought that I may be the last living man on Earth.
That is one of my favorite bands from high school and post-high school. Pinback.
Pinback.
They needed a decent revisit. I didn't do them justice.
You didn't?
I didn't. Not with the track I played. I played Bloods on Fire from like their fourth studio album. This is Boo on their second studio album.
What is this year-wise? What year around?
Circa 2001.
Okay.
Album's called Blue Screen Life. The very soft and melodic voice of Mr. Crow, the frontman, and the other guy.
Is that his name?
Yeah, I call him the other guy.
The other guy.
So what do you think of the meaning of the name Boo? Is it like you're my boo or like boo? Or like...
No, like a ghost.
This is pre-Beyonce.
Oh, hey.
Well, 2001,
no,
that was
well,
like
definitely, if he says Child. He was in high school, that's got to be like late 90s, so that's got to be before, I mean, late 90s, so, early 2000s, before, like, you know, all that boo, my B-E-A, whatever.
Bay.
Before anyone else, that's a bunch of BS anyways.
Right.
Keep going.
Kick his harmony in. Let's hear his harmony.
What genre would you put this in?
Intelligent rock is that's their label that has been given to them.
That's the label.
Yeah.
Right.
People
well,
are like, but, oh, it's intelligent rock.
But what's the genre of this band?
It would be alt rock. Okay. You know.
This is like emo time. This is like the time, though.
No,
like the time frame.
No, this is post.
Early. Mid late 90s, early 2000s. I guess early 2000s is a little bit too late, but
listen to their sampling. Turn it up.
Yeah, what's that from? Do you know?
So, they're heavily into sampling, like classic film and audio. And they actually get their name Pinback from an old John Carpenter. John Carpenter did a movie based on, I guess, a book called Dark Star. It's like a really hippie-ish kind of like space adventure movie. And their first album, the name of the band and their first album heavily samples audio
clips. What John Carpenter movie is called?
Dark Star.
What?
Yeah. Check it out. It's really hokey. I like it, though. It's great.
No, John Carpenter is incredible. He composes all the music, too, for his films.
So they sampled the audio and they named their band after the lead, the protagonist's name, his nickname.
Is what, Pinback?
Pinback.
Huh.
And you can hear the sampling of other audio in here, but the thing, so I guess Boo, I want to say, like the intro when the sample says, as I sit down and write this on paper, I'm starting to wonder if I'm the last man on earth. So it's kind of like he considers himself a walking ghost.
Wow. Yeah. So, Dark Star, 1974. Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I got to brush up on my John Carpenter.
I watched that on Reel to Reel. Not Reel to Reel. I watched that on Reel to Reel.
What, like in elementary school or something?
No. It was at the Roxy on Valencia and 16th.
Is this a comedy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a little tagline.
Super hokey.
It says, in the far reaches of space, a small crew, 20 years in their solitary mission, find things beginning to go hilariously wrong. Now I'm intrigued.
You should watch it. It's good. It's good for, you know, a giggle.
It's kind of like that movie. What was that? Passengers or what was that? That Chris.
That was a good
Pratt
fucking movie.
And what's her face? And
I love that fucking movie.
Michael Sheen. But that probably should have been a comedy, and this is actually that's kind of a great idea to make like a super dark, serious thing like that. Like you wake up in the middle of a 90-year mission, or I don't know what the hell it was, and you can't go back to sleep or something. I don't know, and you're gonna die. But
yeah,
but it would have been funny if it was like a farce. That, and I guess maybe that's what this is. That's pretty good. All right, go check out.
I mean, this track for me does this band justice.
Sorry, I got on a John Carpenter.
I love fucking John Carpenter.
Okay, pin
he's back. Making new shit, too. New shit's coming out from John Carpenter's studio.
So, what made you think of Pinback?
The track popped up on an old playlist that I found on a file on my phone. I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot. And then it hit me. It's like, this is my favorite Pinback track that doesn't... It's a softer track of theirs. It's like it's for me. It's their best. It kind of, you know, it reminds me of how poetic, kind of I used to be a little
it's
bit.
Nostalgic, yeah. I haven't
very nostalgic, but I was very like, you know, poetry and art, man. And then this was the soundtrack to it. I was like, what, 17, 18?
Right.
So,
yeah, music as a time machine. This is this is a theme that is very prevalent on this show and. Music as a time machine and also songs that kill, because there are certain songs that
Towers
really hard to listen.
Towns Van Zandt.
Yeah, really hard to listen to. But there are some like there are some hokey songs even for me that like fuck me up. But anyway, make sure to email us mostlymusicpodcast@gmail.com. We do have another email.
What's that?
From Little Girl Tate.
Who's this?
It doesn't say from where.
Are you serious?
Hey guys, I love the show. I've always loved men singing falsettos. I'd love to hear your opinions. Ooh, you see,
it's
that,
perfect.
That she knows.
That, wow.
I'm assuming it's a girl. That's good because this is right up our alley. I think she knew that. A loyal listener.
It's funny because I refer to myself as sometimes if I get drunk enough, I can hit a falsetto.
That's your claim.
I don't know if that's your fame,
but I know that that's what you
self-proclaimed.
So
I
we're
feel
gonna.
Like we were just talking about that.
Yeah, just
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. About karaoke. No. I don't know if you're offline, but we were just talking about falsetto versus like the
soprano, baritone. Hey. But last night I went to Encore Karaoke in the city of California and Polk, and the scene was a little too douchey for me. But otherwise. Some pretty good songs came on, and Righteous Brothers came on.
No,
And I was reminiscing about how...
You lost that loving feeling?
Yeah.
No.
You never close your eyes.
That's my part.
That's your part. But I can hit
the
high notes.
You have the blonde guy part. Yeah.
I get the high notes if I'm drunk enough. Because like, I don't feel the pain in my throat when I drop. You know what I mean?
Baby, right. Baby. Yeah.
Baby,
then you
gotta
baby. Get that.
Yeah. I can hit falsetto.
Beautiful.
No, you got to do the...
If you would only love me.
Yeah, like that's, you used that's your to part.
Do. Yeah, I can hit that. But you can hear like my voice is a little raspy because I literally hit that note last night.
Oh, you were hitting? You were on the
I
stage
hit it.
Or what?
Or
you
no,
were
no, no,
along?
I was singing
he was
along.
Really? We were at the, I don't know if he was.
Oh, where was that?
No, well, because my friend next to me was like, dude, get up there and sing. I'm like, can't do it. Not feeling it.
Dude, I live 5 blocks from that karaoke bar.
Dude, we should do a duet then.
Should have called me. Oh, hey, righteous players, you know.
It's funny because that thought kind of crossed my mind.
Yeah, I can't.
Because you have the baritone,
right.
And I have the high note.
Mm-hmm.
We can. I say we practice and we do it.
All right, we're going to have to do this for our little girl, Tate, next time. I guess we're going to have this all
Let's do it at Martoonies. Let's sit piano side. Let's play the Righteous
Brothers.
We
should go to Japantown. They have those really insane characters.
Let's give people a little
taste okay,
of that.
But, okay, so let's... wait, of what? Of
the Righteous Brothers.
Oh, here we go.
You want to hear falsetto?
Well,
let's fucking hear
well,
falsetto.
It's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit long in the into the song. I was thinking, so okay, look, there's so many incredible male falsettos out there, right?
Righteous Brothers.
For me, Richard Manuel is easily one of my favorites from the band, you know, because he has a very deep voice himself.
You're right,
and,
yeah.
But then he can also just, he has like the perfect register. He has almost like a Ray Charles voice, but... Another guy who has a really sort of gravelly voice as well, Tom Waits, and he does a great falsetto.
I don't like Tom Waits' voice. It irks me.
Well, we're going to listen. You know what? Just for because I appreciate this email immensely, and yeah. I want to... This is a topic we've been talking about unofficially for a long time.
A long time.
So, you know, everybody, of course, knows Tom Waits, and, you know, what's he built? You know, he's very, you know... Like
this is going to turn into an argument.
Like a
he's a genius
dragged through the gravel, but he does have an amazing falsetto.
Okay,
anyway,
let's prove me wrong.
We could do a little Temptation from Frank's Wild Years.
He's a beatnik. He's a beatnik.
He's a what?
He's an artist.
He's like my dad. That's crazy, dude. That's incredible. That's incredible.
He's a drunk, passed out Frenchman writing poetry.
But
for
he's
Nichols.
Not though. That's the thing.
No, I'm saying that's his image.
Well,
the question is it his personality through and through, or is it what he's portraying?
He's been consistently putting albums out for the last 4 decades. I mean,
that doesn't. I mean.
No, I mean, I think his personality, whatever, is
based
established
on,
by
I'm
his
basing
body of
this,
work.
He's definitely a trademark.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
no
a circus.
Like...
For me, he's a circus act that's actually beautiful to watch. But
it's probably the highest compliment you could give him.
No,
you
I'm serious.
Probably shake your hand.
He's a street side poet that has a character that he plays all the time.
I'm playing this because he doesn't normally do this. You know, normally he doesn't have. But then in some tracks, especially like
I think that's his real voice. Everything else for me seems like it's a contrived act.
No. That I don't think he has a choice. You know, I mean, the guy smoked cigarettes for like, his entire life. It's kind of like Bob Dylan. Okay, so there's that great quote, and you know, Bob Dylan is famous for just giving journalists bullshit one-liners. But when he did Nashville Skyline, and he's you know in Rolling Stone talking about how he quit smoking cigarettes for like a year, and that's why his voice sounds all kind of hokey. But I love that album; it's a great album.
Yeah,
because normally he has like that raspy, and now Dylan's voice is just insane. It's like
it's with age,
it's even more wine. Tom Waitsy than Tom Waits. Yeah,
it's just but the thing. I'm basing this off of his interviews that I see on TV and shit.
Oh, his interviews, he talks kind of like
it's more, so contrived. I just can't
dude,
do
it's,
it.
That's but if that's your voice, man. Like,
no, I'm not talking about his.
People think I'm like.
I'm talking
like
about all in all, what he's portraying.
I don't think he's portraying anything.
That's what I feel.
But I think you need to get a little deeper into that.
He's a performance artist, and he never takes off.
100%.
It's like Chaplin. You've never seen him out of makeup.
I have. When you see Chaplin out of makeup, you don't even recognize
exactly.
It's completely different.
For me, that's Tom Waits. It's a compliment.
Yeah.
But Tom Waits, you know, lives in Petaluma, just, you know, half hour north.
I'm going to go talk to him because I got to ask him.
Please
do. I have questions.
If you could find him, let me know. Because everybody seems to have a Tom Waits story but me. I mean, I guess technically I do because I've seen him and that's super rare. But, perform. Anyway, I wanted to illustrate that because a lot like Richard Manuel, he doesn't usually use it. But actually, Richard Manuel probably uses it a little bit more. But and again, both of those guys are great singers. Richard Manuel is an amazing singer. Tom Waits is always in key, though. That's the thing. Even when it sounds awful, he's still he's got great pitch. I mean,
I think he's an art piece, and I think the art piece is beautiful. But it's a performance.
His albums are incredible. Okay, come on. Even now, even to this day, I mean,
he's Chaplin. Dude, he's Chaplin in makeup all the time. I'm sorry.
That's
it's a compliment, but at the same time, it's an observation.
It's a very short-sighted, myopic observation, if I may say so myself. But hey,
because I've known a couple people
to his
that have been like along those lines.
A couple people that have been. I don't think there's anybody like.
I met a guy, man.
Yeah.
And he named himself after fucking Catcher in the Rye.
What, Holden Caulfield?
Holden Caulfield.
Oh, God. Here
but his whole life was his image since he was a kid. He's like autistic.
Okay, well, that's different, man.
Right,
there's...
he's on the spectrum. That's kind of just the way some people are. And,
yeah.
You know, they have to cope
but he chose an image and he ran with it.
I don't think that's. Aww. Well, look, you're yeah, you
he produces
you do what you're
stuff.
Inspired by. Everybody is sort of
they're like
not copying, but inspired and influenced by every single thing they've ever read, listened to, seen. This is something that, you know, as a musician, you struggle with, do I take the sort of the Clapton route and absorb every single thing I possibly can.
Fuck Clapton.
And then be somewhat derivative or at least, you know, or do you not listen to anything and then try to be completely original? But the answer is somewhere in the middle, obviously.
Fucking
because
hate Eric Clapton.
I listen to Eric Clapton sometimes.
So vanilla. I can't do
it. But that's
his
what I'm
only
saying.
Songs that I like are written by who again? What the fuck's his name?
Robert Johnson. Crossroads, what?
No, Cocaine. Who wrote that?
Oh, J.J. Cale.
J.J.
Of
Cale.
Course, yeah. All of Clapton's biggest hits were written by J.J. Cale. J.J. Cale.
Fuck Eric
amazing.
Clapton.
Well, again, you know.
Vanilla.
It's okay. Eric Clapton and Last Waltz, I can deal with that. But, you know. Slowhand. I mean, look, I don't really have an opinion on him. I don't really care. I agree with you more or less.
I changed some older dude who loved Eric Clapton. He's sitting at my bar. I told him my opinion about Eric Clapton. He's like, you know what, man? Fuck Eric Clapton. I was like, yes, I've converted one.
Oh my goodness. Just turn him on to something else instead of turning them against people.
Can we hear the Righteous Brothers?
And open their mind, Jose.
Thank you. Low spark. Thank you. You know what? You are the angel on my shoulder. I have plenty of devils.
Oh, sorry. I was talking to someone else across the room over there on the bed.
I have plenty of devils on my other shoulder. I need more positive.
Low Sparks, other guest. It's unseen.
I need positive, more positive direction. I need to stop being so rigid. And
yeah.
Yeah, because you know what? Being Ben Harper's number one fan has been very fortuitous for me in my personal life.
Wait, what do you mean number one fan?
That's me. I love Ben Harper more than anybody
else. You told me you didn't like him.
As of tonight,
he's been converted.
I totally respect converted. You for not, but he's been you know
that. I mean, I guess it's new. It's a new album.
You totally missed out. It was a beautiful show, and I went by myself.
Fuck.
And there was these people older than my mother and father that were smoking marijuana, and I just thought, wow, why the hell don't I have marijuana? And these people do.
I would have brought
weed.
They're
having a great time.
I'm an idiot.
All ages.
I'm sorry, Eric Clapton. I'm sorry, Tom Waits. I'm sorry, Ben Harper. Can we listen to the Righteous Brothers?
Yeah,
but, I mean, what song?
You've lost that love and feeling.
Yeah, okay, but, you know, Bill Medley dominates that song, and then, like, Bobby yeah, Hatfield you, comes in, like,
there's,
you know,
there's
two
no,
and a half minutes in.
There's got to be something
There's no expression
else.
Of falsetto and pop
that's
music
good.
Than that.
Are you kidding me? Because there's a huge Ooh, one that's
where,
standing
what,
out to me
when, why?
Right now.
Go. You go. Okay, fuck the Righteous Brothers, too.
Okay, and how dare you forget about this kind of gentleman.
Are we doing
here?
Falsetto right now?
Sherry,
Sherry, baby, Sherry, Sherry, baby,
Now, I mean, that's probably the most obvious example.
The Jersey Boys.
Well, Frankie Valli. Yeah.
Frankie Valli.
Sure, yeah. Four Seasons. Which are, you know, and Four Seasons are incredible. And he didn't, you know, he had a naturally high register. But nobody naturally sings like that. But he, you know, that's his range.
He was chemically castrated.
I know that's the MJ rumor, but we're not going to get into that on this episode. But, Frankie Valli's a man. Okay, I agree. Okay, Bobby Hatfield, that's Righteous Brothers. That's the blonde guy's name, right? It's great. Are we gonna do it? I mean, I thought
I would
we were
love
save
to.
It for the video podcast when we do the duet.
You want to duet on that? I can save it.
Well,
for
I want to see you do that duet. Yeah. Anyway,
get me drunk enough, and I'll do it. And I'll hit the note once. It hurts.
Sing, yeah, no, yeah.
You're gonna sing that song?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm there.
Not right now. When we get our podcast going,
oh.
But you got to be in bikini.
I'll wear my poodle skirt and my sock hops. Yeah.
I think is I can hit the low notes and the high notes if I'm drunk enough.
Really?
It's weird.
I don't know. Well, maybe I can hit the high notes if I'm drunk enough.
I can get guttural, bro. I can start.
I always do Nate Dogg, and you always do Warren G. But that's a different story. That's more modern parlance. But
that's the jam right there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Speaking,
but of course,
speaking,
I mean every
hip hop,
yeah,
and pretty intense
Sorry,
artistry.
Mm-hmm.
I have a new. I'm changing my mind a lot tonight. What did
That's
I say?
The show's all about
Childish
all about.
Gambino.
Really?
Fucking hate that artist.
Yeah. Ooh.
He's actually doing. What was my quote? You're
Donald
not fucking.
Glover. You're talking about Donald Glover.
Donald Glover.
Right.
You're not fucking Kendrick Lamar. That was my last quote.
Yeah,
about him.
That was a little. You know, I don't. I think he knows he's not Kendrick.
But
Lamar.
What did he put out?
But
recently, this fucking, it's blown up the media.
But
like,
the weirdest thing I've been knowing about this Childish Gambino guy for the past like 4 years. I kind of watched his videos and I don't know what the heck.
Are you a fan or?
I mean, I'm so surprised that now he's blowing up and I heard some of his music a few years ago. Like,
there was nothing to
what's
it.
What's the lag?
Well, it's because
it
of that
so
show Atlanta and now he's been doing a lot more, you know,
I don't
acting.
Watch TV.
Honestly,
is that my problem?
No, but that sort of, I think, explains why his star has risen higher
I
than
think
it used
because
to be.
Because
we all knew about him before.
Right.
Or, you know, a lot of
I mean, I
did.
Thought he was good. I
people
thought he was decent.
People under the age of 50
you know?
Knew about him. But he now, people over, you know what I mean? Like, now he's more ubiquitous and he's more on the minds of popular culture than
honestly
maybe he was before he was doing
comedy. Right, but because
TV.
Of a song or two, I wouldn't say Kendrick Lamar. I mean,
no, there's the last album he put out. He was
saying Kendrick Lamar.
The sound of it, he tried the sound.
Right.
He tried
exactly.
to sound like Kendrick.
They say Kendrick Lamar is like the Tupac of
Kendrick
whatever.
Kendrick Lamar is pretty incredible.
He's incredible. That's an artist. And my,
but anyway,
I fucking,
okay,
so
I yeah,
for me,
I
saw Childish, I saw Donald Glover as a failed, not a failed, but a very unfocused Renaissance man, where he's a jack of all trades. He could do pretty much anything. Not very well in certain
you mean,
things.
So he does.
And pretty good.
A master of none kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think he's starting to master his craft in writing, comedy, acting.
Yeah.
He kills it as
very
Lando.
Talented.
Yeah, very talented. And now, finally, he's putting out something that sounds like it's him.
So this is more of like a straight hip hop album, you're saying? Not like less
it's
comedy?
More than that.
Or...
like, he fits into the whole, you know, the fucking, you know, Black Lives Matter political aspect of it. You know, he's got a point of view about something. He's not afraid to show the imagery. Obviously, with the music video he just put out called This Is America. Mm-hmm. Very intense video. And I appreciated it. It sounded good.
Is it because you think he finally like grew a pair? Is that what
I think he finally grew a pair and stopped fucking floating in between the lines. And he's like, you know what?
That's good.
I'm going to draw my own line. And so let's play This Is America by Gambino.
What's the name of the song?
This Is America.
Oh, okay.
We just want to party. Slipping up, look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Look how I'm living up. Police be tripping up. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap. I gotta carry 'em. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is Gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, yeah, or I'ma get the pad. Yeah, yeah, I'm so cold like, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm so dull like, yeah. Woo. We gon' blow like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the track is a solid track. I think he's found his voice, and artistry is amazing when it comes to the images they portrayed in the video.
No, I think the video, this song by itself is...
No, I hear it.
It kind of requires the video.
It's a lot of roots, semi-gospel, African roots music callback. And you have like the semi slow EDM bass line. You know, his voice doesn't sound as soft as it used to. He's also, you know, right here you can hear him rapping like other artists. That he sounds like, do you know who that you know who does that right now? That's a Lil Flip. Played it in the last episode. That Floridian 17-year-old Latino kid that plays Gucci Gang. Gucci Gang. He's accessing... He can literally sound like all these artists, and he's putting it into this track.
It's just... I don't know. The video's... It's good. I don't know. It's just... The song... I don't know.
Right. I mean, I haven't seen the video. It's... great, but it's not mind-blowing right now. I mean, I do...
The imagery does assist the music, but I can hear what he's doing with the track. Meaning he's showing what the current black culture is doing for music right now. And he's kind of saying where he wants it to go. You know, I think he's discovered his roots and he's not afraid to portray his political point of view.
Right. And that's
his distaste for where the movement's going. Artists.
And he's doing it his own way. And that's, I mean, that's really the.
It takes balls.
No, yeah.
He's literally calling everyone out and be like, what the fuck are you doing for the game? That's ballsy. That's literally like. He's gonna battle rap everybody? No, and it came to fruition with the music video and this track.
Right, he's doing it his way, and that's it's cool. No, I appreciate. Wow, so you've come a complete 180 over here on this guy.
Yeah, oh no, I think he's finally honing his craft because he fucking sucked.
Wasn't doing stuff that you particularly liked, but.
General consensus, people don't like him. It's too soft.
What about Sheck Wes?
Couldn't tell you.
No. He's good. He's newish, I guess, rapper out of New York. He's doing good things. There's a lot of young kids now coming out and doing, putting out really good music. It's a great time because virtually anybody with a microphone can do it in a little bit of software. You can do it from home, You want to hear a little Sheck Wes? Mo Bamba.
Okay.
16-year-old. Bitch! They can't take it to 10. I got hoes calling a young nigga phone. Where's Ollie with the motherfucking dog? Ballin' like a motherfucking pro. Like a I be ballin' like my nigga Mo. Sheck Wes, I ain't a motherfucking joke. Steph Wes, stay with the fucking pole. You fuck around and get pulled.
Anyway, if you haven't seen the video for Mo Bamba, Sheck Wes, go watch. It's so good. Because it kind of reminds me of, 90s music videos, the song, first of all, he's riding around on, a Rascal scooter in the video. It's so weird. But it's, black and white. It's a little... And it almost has, like a Beastie Boys Sabotage.
Yeah.
You remember, it's like a chase scene. I don't know. It's incredible.
It's almost like he's reverting back 10 years.
It's great, man. Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. It's funny, the video is, it's a great
It's
video.
Comic relief.
It's a great
video. In the age of where the fuck are we?
Yeah, and it's, it's simple or simplistic, but it's very well done. I don't know.
I'll give it a once over.
Because there's everybody that, what's that, Tekashi 6ix9ine or whatever that crazy Puerto Rican kid. His music's art. But this is for me, I don't know, I like this a lot. This is good shit. Sorry, but watch the video. We'll put a link up on the Facebook page.
That's saucy.
More or less non-existent, but yeah. But anyway, I don't know. But I think that sort of ties into the video thing, because the song, on its own, but with that video, it's great. Anyway.
What was I going to get into that was really controversial? Oh, yeah. Heralding in the death of a music generation.
Huh.
The slow...
You talking about the metaphorical death?
Yeah. Slow death of EDM being heralded by...
Is there
the
slow
actual
death
of Avicii.
Right. That's right.
Which happened a little while ago.
Now, I'm not very well versed in this world, so please...
We've heard some of his shit.
Nor am I.
Elucidate mm-hmm. more.
He's one of those, I guess, produces in the studio and then DJ press play, on stage.
Got it. But this guy, was huge. He was a huge,
genius, I think, actually. Really? You know, I'm not really into the EDM world, but I actually was like, Avicii died? Who is this? And I was like, oh, this guy, this song. I was like, oh.
Earworms.
So, yeah. You know what I mean? A lot of my friends were really into it, and we listened to it all the time, but I never was really into the, you know,
the late scene.
Rage, raving scene after, like, 16, 18. I kind of got screwed up really fast, so I just said, you know what, I'm good with that. I'd just rather smoke weed.
Very smart.
Don't need to go to the rave, but
smart choice. Good,
like, beautiful music, I think.
Beautiful music. Okay. I feel terrible because I don't know. I mean, I know the name.
I was
clips, but I know nothing about.
I was drunk when I heard it, and I made ignorant. I made the typical low spark responses. Finally, some justice in the music world.
Oh, I mean, yeah,
that sounds about right.
Yeah,
the track that he played when he was kind of coming on the scene? It was very popular. I feel like it was 2011.
He's got huge hits. He's
actually 2006. I don't. You know what? It's hard to say because it was. What was that one? It was, I got a good feeling.
Wake me up.
No, it was. Oh, I got a good feeling.
Yeah. We all know it's pop music. We've heard it everywhere.
Now, who's singing? Like, who's like? Is he creating the music for this, or is he just like mixing and sampling? Like, I don't know. I know nothing about this guy. Please,
he's from Switzerland or Sweden.
Yeah,
Swedish,
no, he right? Swedish.
Swedish, I think. Yeah, that's
yeah,
the only thing I know.
Swedish.
Mm-hmm. Super young. He probably started out like when he was like a teenager. Or something, yeah, I'm assuming right. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like he had something online and people caught on to his mixtape somehow, and then it just kind of blew up from there.
And then he was just in demand after that. Okay. Well.
So I was just planning on playing something, I guess his first EP or his first single.
Wait, what is
it? Oh, I think I'm
Ryu.
Thinking of Levels.
I don't know.
I'm thinking of Levels.
Ryu.
I'm interested to hear yours.
Ryu.
Ryu.
Like Ryu from Street Fighter?
Technically, it's Ryu.
Yeah, that.
Because Ryu. There's a Dodger pitch.
So, anyway. I think this is his first single.
Everybody calls him Ryu, and he says his name is pronounced Ryu.
We'll make it a tangent. A multiple touch base thing of, like, first listen. So, I don't really know his music besides the pop shit that's everywhere. So, we'll just play his first single.
Yeah, play me like produce? What's popular or what,
not popular. Let's just play his first single. Let's okay, see. Let's sure, see. Sure. You know
give
where
it,
he started.
I know nothing.
Where so he started. So we'll start there.
Right.
Okay.
Let's do it. Seems like okay. I think I get it. But
I feel like
sound like it's EDM. It's like not necessarily roots dance music, not like classic techno, not like semi-industrial straight from Germany or Eastern Europe fucking.
But
you know,
to me it's like and this is a very narrow-minded point of view, but to me it seems like this belongs on a video game or at a club where everybody is like
sweating,
you were saying,
dancing
on E or whatever. Yeah,
on E.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
which
of
you know,
course.
It's not a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, I don't get it myself. I don't know.
No,
and I'm going to alienate like 80% of our audience now. I'm sure.
When I wasn't taking ecstasy in my youth and I was going to raves and stuff, I was soberly dancing to a fervor to this music, but in better versions of this.
But you were young. You were a kid.
Yeah.
I think the more you think about
how much work
it takes and what goes into actually playing these tracks and producing it, the more you'll appreciate the person
that's creating it, rather than just sitting and listening.
For sure. Like maybe, but that's why maybe it falls short for me because I don't really understand that piece. So it's a little bit harder for me to like really get into it.
I completely get it. I mean,
This sound is very flat to me because I can hear what he's stealing from everyone else that's come before him 25 years.
Well, and again, you know, it's stealing or inspired by, I don't think, like...
No,
like,
it's stealing.
Like, for me, like, that's not the issue here. The issue is, well, I don't know. I mean, again, like, I've been to, you know, like, some... See, I'm going to sound like I'm 88 years old, but I've been to like a rave. Yeah, you know, all-night dance party. And it's fun as hell. I'm
well, I mean, where
lie.
Did it start?
But I was
who
on
coined,
some kind of upper or something.
Who coined it the best? The creator of Factory Records, Tony Wilson, started in Manchester the era of the dancing white man. DJs. Club. Then the drugs.
I think disco was...
Full elation. Like, yeah, but coke-induced certain right. sound. But then, like, out sure. of that came techno. And mm-hmm. Four on the floor.
House.
Right. On the beat. Four on the floor, you know, classic.
Sure.
I'll play some
I get it. I'm saying
that. You know, you want me to play some classic shit? I'll play some fucking classic.
But I guess what I'm saying is what separates this guy from... Like Deadmau5 or somebody else that's doing this, the exact, and I know Deadmau5 is huge and he's gonna sell
huge.
Or some other guy that has mastered Ableton or something. You know what I mean? Like
that's the argument.
Like
is it an instrument?
And I mean, has like a modular synth.
It's all the same category. It's all the same category.
Well, you know, I don't know. It's okay.
You mean you want to hear some old school house? I'll play some fucking old school house.
Not particularly, but.
You don't want to go back to 97 in the Castro?
wait, so okay. So you were saying somebody else died. Or were you talking about...
No, he's heralding... His death is like literally the gateway to the death of New Age EDM.
Is it the death or is it...
Yeah, people are moving on from it.
I don't know, but
what are
though?
What are you looking at?
Who knows? What's the next thing?
Another iteration of this.
No.
This has, like you said, this has been going on since the 80s, right? Since drum machines were invented and synths became modular and were, you know, people were able to like piecemeal different things and make their own sound if they didn't know how to play an instrument. And in a sense, this is an instrument. If you don't know how to play, you can master some, well, nowadays it's software, but... that's it's completely legitimate.
Which is kind of what I was trying to allude to, which is like the manipulation of sounds and bringing people together or things that you can create this kind of momentum of the music, right? Because I feel like a lot of EDM is kind of you're just slow and then it just like blows up and then it'll slow back down and it'll bring you back up again. Like, you know, so you're really feeling the music and you're in the moment, you know, and
hormones,
you're just like up
sex.
And down and woo-hoo.
You want to hear what I was getting sweaty to back in the mid 90s?
What's that?
Beef.
About to go for it?
Deep down inside.
Yeah, I can get behind this a little bit more.
Yeah.
Is that just because I'm older? And
yeah.
It's Four on the Floor, baby. That's yeah, classic.
That's the kind of rave music four I went to.
Yeah, I like this more.
In
like
98,
99. That hard bass. Yeah, give you a vocal or paired something.
And I was like, so hey, happy. Everybody, I'm cool. I don't need to do drugs. Have fun. I'm just going to hang out and like smoke some weed and watch you guys like get all E'd out and stuff. Because we called it E back in the day, or X.
Right.
I'm getting sweaty just thinking of those long nights.
I'm already sweaty because it's like 85 degrees in this studio right now.
Watching those people with those weird colored like
clothing. No, this is before all that. This is where like UGT got
it. They even had those weird like chunky bracelets like with the ABCDEFG with all that, you know, neon, yellow, green, blue, purple, pink. Getting into the fur stuff.
With the pacifiers.
Yeah, you know.
This was before all. This is 1993. I'm talking circa 97.
But this was basically the foundation of everything that she's saying.
This is, the precursor.
That's what I think of. I mean, that's what I grew up with, like the like silly whether colors. Or not, like, now it's just like normal people going
those
out.
Those people were downstairs, though. Even upstairs, they were just hanging out, chilling, headbanging.
It was like it was a fashion. It was a, it was different.
It's like when punk started becoming a fashion.
Are you right? No, exactly. And then, because like when we were growing up, especially like in the 90s, in the early 90s, there's like grunge, right? But then there became goth or whatever. I'm not saying that became that, but then there was that also that. And then there was like the like white boy hip hop, like JNCO jeans and like baggy pants, you know?
That's
and,
your SoCal shit.
I remember punk rock.
You can't tell me that that wasn't everywhere.
Not up here. Up here you got clowns. There was like one in 100 kids.
Do you guys remember Cottonmouth Kings?
Yeah.
Dude, I used to listen to Cottonmouth Kings, that's punk so rock. I used to go to punk rock concerts. Right. My friends are like, oh, you're cool. You like this? I'm like, yeah, let's go. But it was kind of like running out to a field. I felt like in the middle of fucking nowhere to go watch these shows. And I don't even know.
That's how Coachella started. And now look at it.
What the heck?
Yeah. It's completely legit.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
Apparently Avicii. What was that?
Oh, I mean, I remember back when they announced his death that they didn't really release the reason. But I just read an article that I'm not sure if the source is the best. However, says that he cut himself with a wine bottle, a broken wine bottle,
drinking.
Was he like, he was like in the Middle East, or he's like in Oman?
Sounds like he's on vacation. Like, shit, I would want to have a good time. But, you know.
Yeah, but when you've been high for 23 years straight, your
depression
kinda,
hits because he had
organs you're chemically removed. Imbalanced.
Well, yes, he's had organs removed because of his cirrhosis.
I can't imagine the kind of. This is the kind of things that you read about or hear about when you go into outpatient therapy or you're in AA and they're just saying, like, hey, it really messes with your brain. Yeah. So I can just say, yeah, okay, I think that's the case, but I just don't know myself. So it's hard to believe.
I'm sorry you suffered. I mean, it's a sad thing. Young kid. Obviously, he knew his instruments. He knew what he was doing. He was talented. He wanted to express himself. We don't like his stuff, mostly, I don't think. But it does hit a note. It hit a generation. A lot of people, you know.
It hit a lot of generations,
yeah, I was surprised, actually. A lot of people were really broken up about this, yeah.
I guess, he did transcend generations.
Absolutely. Older, younger. People older than me, people.
He was young, but he did make it out of the 27 Club, I think, when he was 29, or 28 at least.
Right? Yeah, 28.
Yeah. I guess it could be worse, but... I don't know, but it's true. We don't really see artists like that dying that young anymore.
No.
Winehouse might have been the last big one.
Death by misadventure, you know.
Right. Or just sort of, you know, flame burning too bright. Whatever.
I got to watch what I say sometimes because there was this chick that was visiting me at the bar all the time. And she was like, oh, I'm listening to your podcast. And I realized she was a feminist.
Yeah.
She hasn't been back since.
We're all feminists.
She's a regular.
I'm a feminist.
Yeah, but the shit that I say is...
I'm pretty damn realistic, and I might have different views than some people, but I'm pretty
open-minded. Gave her fair warning. I was like, fair warning, I get a little buzz, and I say stupid shit I don't necessarily mean. I don't want you to get genuinely offended because I'm just... You know,
if people don't know you, they're going to be genuinely offended by virtually everything you say.
Everything that I fucking say. I'm trying to
So is this a segue, like, with the feminism movement, like, into, like, Tegan and Sarah, or, like, what are we going to talk Indigo about Girls. Next? I mean, you know, I'm just wondering.
Or she heard that you had the copy of Mein Kampf, because she listened to the very first episode.
That's what it was!
I tell people, don't listen to the early episodes. It's really rough.
Actually, I think I was forced to read some kind of graphic novel. I can't remember the name of it.
By me?
It was a German graphic novel.
Jesus.
Yeah, for a class. I can't
for
remember.
For like some modern.
Oh, it was for. I took like, you know, I studied foreign languages, so I took some kind of language theory culture class about, you know, it was a mixture of learning different languages and. It's actually a pretty popular graphic novel, but it was. You know, based on World War II and, you know, the Germans and the Jews and
Mouse?
Occupation. Yes, Mouse.
Yeah, Mouse.
M-A-U-S. Yes, yeah. Yeah, Mouse. Yeah.
Is that propaganda or is that just an actual, just a...
Are we still talking about feminism?
We were, somehow. Somehow I got segued into that,
circle.
Too. So
yeah, she was cute. I gave her fair warning, and I'm so offensive with the shit that I say, she doesn't come in anymore. She was like, I'm going to listen tonight, and I'll tell you what I think. Never saw her again.
Well, of course she didn't come back to see you after that. Wow. I mean, you can be a little abrasive sometimes.
Yeah,
intentionally abrasive. It's but a part of my shtick.
You can be a little bit one-sided, right. Too, at times.
Well, I'm trying. I'm working on that.
You're very... somehow at once open and closed-minded at the exact same
thank
time.
You.
Is that why they call him the low spark?
That's right.
Well, that's because
finally
Steve
someone
Winwood,
has deduced
but,
me.
But yeah, I look.
No, Phil Lesh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was at his concert.
Yeah, but it was the Steve Winwood.
Low spark of the IU right. Voice. Yeah.
Traffic, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I know that. And I love... outspoken people. I love people that offend people. I just,
yeah,
for me,
it's sorry. You know, be yourself.
Toughen the fuck up, okay? Can we get off of this? Oh, I was offended. Yeah, you're offended. That's
yeah, she's cute.
Part
though.
Of the goddamn person.
Right. I mean,
you don't have a right to not be offended.
Have a conversation.
Anyway,
I mean it, but I don't mean it.
You don't have to agree with everyone
that's
on
in
Earth.
A general sense, but we're both, this is a specific thing, and yeah, hey, it wasn't her cup of tea. It's okay. It's all right.
She's really cute. I fucked up.
Better off.
I should have told her about the podcast. I didn't know she was
Speaking
a feminist.
Speaking of it's all right, Bob Marley says it's okay.
Yeah,
it's
thanks, Bob. Bob's always on my side.
Yeah,
anyways.
Aren't we past the point? Aren't we all feminists? Like, aren't we past all that? Like,
yeah.
I mean,
right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'll
but I heard
breaks.
Of this new term. It was
everything
like
I say is
MOTW. It was like men on the something something. And it was about this movement of men acting out to kind of, you know, fight against the women movements. They feel
so balanced in the force.
It's a true thing. It's a real thing.
Well,
you know,
okay.
But
this
it
is
was
for the other podcast.
Something
think,
about
we're
yeah,
not
going to
get into this because you are
gonna going
to get massacred.
Can we keep going to where your track was? Where
that's
yeah.
it. That's all I
no,
have.
No. All right, that's it. Because today, along with John Fogerty,
yes.
today is T-Bone Walker, or would have been T-Bone Walker's birthday. So, you know what? Let's just transition out of all of this and listen, maybe, aptly speaking, to a little mean old world.
Thank you.
Walker, aka T-Bone Walker.
I feel like I can sing the blues.
He kind of started it all, man. I mean, if you really want to think about... look, I mean, he started recording debut with a single, the 78 with for Columbia in 1929 called Wichita Falls Blues, Trinity River Blues. He's a Texan.
Ridiculous.
And he was billed as Oak Cliff T-Bone. But man, I mean, in his younger years, he played with Blind Lemon Jefferson. Mm-hmm. I mean, he used to tell stories about how he would literally walk Blind Lemon from like bar to bar,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just, you know, I mean, this is obviously before amplification and everything. Charlie Christian, who's, you know, always talked about more, but I think T-Bone, I mean, you know, B.B. King, I mean, everybody talks about, I mean, there wouldn't be it without T-Bone Walker. But look at that.
I haven't formulated my opinion about B.B. King.
Get the fuck out of here.
There's something I want to say about it, but I haven't quite got the words.
Don't even try. Okay, B.B. King is incredible, all right? So just...
I listen to B.B. King.
But anyway.
Everyone does.
Let's raise a glass to T-Bone Walker. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Bottoms up at home. It's a mean old world.
Preach.
But when you got a sweet voice and sweet hands like that, you know. Anyway, that sounded weird, but you know. We are running a little long in the tooth, and so we will be wrapping it up shortly. But we felt like since we were gone for over a month, we would give you guys a little extended episode, so thank you for bearing with us, and we promise you it won't be another 6 weeks before we record another episode. But the Low Spark wanted to play us out today, and I don't actually know what you have prepared here.
I was going to play us out?
Yeah, you are. I didn't know if you had anything.
I want to thank Hillary.
I want to thank Hillary for being here tonight and putting up with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Gracias.
No, that's fucking great. You have a great radio voice.
She really does.
I'm really intense. I know I'm a dick. I try to be funny. It doesn't come off as funny most of the time. I laugh at my own jokes.
Is this an apology to that girl? Is this
no. I'm done with her.
Here we go.
But maybe it was something I said.
I do have moments of clarity. Anyway.
Yes.
And I do try to touch on spirituality. And I try to find balance in myself all the time. Because I'm like, I can be super manic. So what do? To come down to baseline, I meditate. And I practice that religiously, literally, without, you know, any denomination. But I'll sit there and I'll listen to certain things, whether it be a very soft track or something very vocal. But lately, it's been Ravi Shankar. And I usually play my favorite album, The Spirit of India. Have I played this before?
Of course. But probably not on this show.
Not on the show.
And I love me some Ravi.
But if you don't know Ravi Shankar, obviously, the story goes, he taught George Harrison how to play the sitar.
Well, along with many other.
But the most notably, George Harrison.
Sure.
Estranged father of Nora Jones. His daughter's picked up the mantle and plays the sitar. Apparently, just like him. Like, you know, she's good.
Who, Nora or his other?
His other daughter.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know her name.
Sure.
But I'm going to play a track off of The Spirit of India. Something, this is mid-90s stuff. Hopefully you guys like it. And thanks for listening.
I am Ignatius Palafox.
I'm Low Spark.
And this is Mostly Music.
Thanks, Hillary. Thank you.
Thank you.